Well, last week we looked at the Tower of Babel, the rainbow, and what those things mean, and the diversity that we see in this world coming from the confusion of the languages at the Tower of Babel, and we talked about a little bit about racism, something that's our country is unfortunately struggling with again, and how that is a sin, and how it is a disgusting thing, and that we are all come from one family, from Adam and Eve, and that we are all children of the same family, and that we should not judge anyone by the color of their skin, as we are all of one blood and from one family. Well, now we are going to move on from the Tower of Babel. And we're going to see a shift in focus from God, where before he was dealing with all of humanity. Now he's going to zoom in and focus on a particular person, a particular family. And that person is Abraham. And he's going to give them a promise, and a promise that we're going to see that he has kept. Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 9 says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Morah. And the Canaanites were there in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built on an altar to the Lord, and called on the name of the Lord. And so Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. So we see here that God appears to Abraham, and he gives him a special promise. He tells him to leave his country, leave his family, and that he would make him a great nation, and that he would bless him, and that he would be a blessing to all. What a wonderful, special promise that is. In Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith, we see a different perspective of the same event. Hebrews 11, 8 through 16 says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in the tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child, and when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland, and truly if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. And therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So we see here Abraham, he left his home country. He left his family. He left the people that he loved. He left his inheritance. The land that he would inherit. The goods that he would inherit. He left them all behind. And he said, I'm going to follow God wherever he leads me. You know, so often in our life, it's like, God, as soon as you tell me where to go, and you tell me how we're going to get there, and you provide all the needs, hey, I'm willing to go. And you make sure I can get back here to see my family every once in a while, right? That was not Abraham. God said, get up and go. And Abraham said, okay, I'll do it. And his conviction was so great that even his nephew said, hey, I want to go with you. Now, maybe there was nothing to do in Haran. You know, maybe it was just a one-horse town, and he's like, hey, I got to get out of here. This is my ticket. We don't know. But what we do know is just as God promised Abraham, God has promised us great promises throughout Scripture. There are so many promises in Scripture. But today I want to focus on 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 9 says, but you are a chosen generation, talking about believers, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. In the same way that God has promised Abraham to be the father of a great nation, God has promised us to be part of a wonderful nation, a priestly nation, God's special people. There was a 12-year-old boy who became a Christian during a revival. And the next week at school, his friends questioned him about the experience. Did you see a vision? Asked one friend. Did you hear God speaking? Asked another. The youngster answered no to all of these questions. Well, then how did you know that you were saved? They asked. The boy searched for an answer, and finally he said, it's like when you catch a fish. You can't see the fish. You can't hear the fish, but you can feel the fish tugging on your line. And he said, it's the same way. I just felt God tugging on my heart. God has special promises for us. And he tugs on our heartstrings. And he reminds us of his love for us. But with this promise also comes responsibility. For Abraham, we see that God gave him a responsibility. It says in verse 1, now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. And so when Abraham got there, and he sets up that altar, and he worships God, immediately the next verse, verse 10, it says, now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there. For the famine was severe in the land, and it came to pass when he was close to entering Egypt that he said to Sarai his wife, indeed I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you. So it was when Abram came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. And the princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. And he treated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, male donkeys and camels. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now, therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way." And so Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. And then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock and in silver and gold, and he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. So we see that God says, leave your people, leave your family, leave your inheritance, leave everything you have, and go to this place that I have will give you. And he gets there. And God says, this is the place I'm going to give you and your family for many generations. And Abram says, that's great, I'm out of here. And he heads for Egypt. And he almost got himself into real, real big trouble if God hadn't stepped in and saved his rear end. He almost lost his wife. When we don't follow God's promises, when we don't follow God's responsibilities that he's given us, there's serious consequences. And God has also given us responsibility. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." We are also to submit to government. We are also to be willing to suffer for what is right. Says, verse 21, chapter 2, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. And when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously," being the Father, "who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Not only do we see that there's responsibility, but we see that there is the promise, there is a responsibility, and there is a blessing. And the reality is God wants to bless us. He's given us these promises so that we could know who he is and so that he could bless us. In Joshua chapter 24, we see the account of where God has kept his promise. Abraham died. He did not see the people dwelling in the land. But instead, his people actually went down into Egypt because of another famine, and they were there slaves for 400 years. But then God brought up Moses and they returned. And Joshua gives this account in Joshua 24. He says, "Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and he called for the elders of Israel, for their heads, for their judges, for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, 'Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. And then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac.'" We see that God kept his promise. Even through great circumstance, God kept his promise that Abraham would be the father of a great nation. But it was not just a physical nation that Abraham would be the father of, but also a spiritual nation. Paul talks about this in Galatians chapter 3. He says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, for whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that you are now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of the faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, 'In you all the nations shall be blessed.'" And so then those who are of the faith are blessed with believing Abraham. "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.' But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by faith. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree,' that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Paul is saying it's not just the physical descendants of Abraham, but all of those who are of the same faith as Abraham. And as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, we believe God and in Jesus Christ his Son. And through that, we have received righteousness. And so all of those who are of the same faith are spiritually of the blessing of Abraham. Paul explains it again in Romans chapter 4. It says, "For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise is made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law," meaning the Jews, "but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, 'I have made you a father of many nations,' in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, 'So shall your descendants be.' And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, even though he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of his Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was able to perform. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised for our justification." The promise to Abraham, that Abraham believed that he would be the father of many nations, and by him, all the nations would be blessed. We know that the answer to that is in Christ. And we see Abraham's great faith, believing that God could do anything. Because he was 100, and Sarah was about 100, and her womb was closed. She had already went past the time where she could bear children. She was dead as far as being able to reproduce. She could not reproduce anymore. But Abraham believed God. Not only that he promised it, but that he could do it, that he could bring it about. He believed him, and God counted it to him for righteousness, and that righteousness is the same righteousness that we received through the same faith, that God has forgiven our sin, that he has died on the cross for our offenses, and that through him we are justified. God has many blessings for us as well. 1 Peter 2, 4 through 10 says, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling block, and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they are also appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into the marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. The promise that God gave Abraham is fulfilled in each one of you. As we go out and are a living example of the goodness of God, a living stone, a living memorial of the promises of God and his goodness. And as we go out in the world and perform the good works that God has ordained us to perform in Ephesians 2:10, then we fulfill that promise that in him all the nations would be blessed. Because we are his spiritual seed. We are of the same faith. Thomas Chisholm was born in a log cabin in Franklin, Kentucky in 1866. He received his education in a little country schoolhouse at the age of 16 and began to teach there. He was saved at the age 27, and with no college or seminary training, he was ordained to the Methodist ministry at age 36. He served as a Methodist minister for a year, but was ill, and his health made it impossible for him to continue. He moved to Vineland, New Jersey, where he opened an insurance office. Always interested in poetry, Chisholm wrote hundreds of poems during his lifetime. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 inspired him to write the text, "For great is thy faithfulness." The verses read, "It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Chisholm experienced that faithfulness, and he suffered ill health most of his adult life. He never made much money, but he said this, "God has given me many wonderful displays of his providing care, which have filled me with astonishing gratefulness." The reality is there are so many blessings. Even though, as Jesus said, in this world we will have trials, we will have tribulations, we will go through tough times, there is great blessing to go through those times with our Lord and Savior on our side. His Spirit comforting us, giving us assurance, and knowing that we have a better place, a better home that we can call or that we can look forward to, one that we can't wait to get to be reunited with all those ones that we love. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we see that you have promised Abraham, you have kept your promise. Lord, you have dealt very well with Abraham, not because of his works, but because of your word. You made him a promise, and you upheld it. Lord, we can see his example, and we can look at our life and the promises that you have given us of an eternal home in heaven. And Lord, we can recognize that your word is faithful and true, and that you will do what you have promised, just as you have done with Abraham. Lord, we thank you that we get to be receivers of that promise. It's not anything that we have done, but it's your goodness, your mercy, that we are saved. Lord, thank you for that home, that great hope that we have to look forward to, recognizing that this country and this world is going to pass away. Lord, we go out and share the good news and bring with us those who will receive the good news of Christ. But we look forward to that place, that home in heaven, where we will spend eternity with you forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.